World Sport from the BBC. Hello, I'm Mark Crossley. Coming up...
There is no racism. There is maybe one of the players towards the other. He has a word or a gesture which is not the correct one. And the end of the game, we shake hands. This can happen.
The president of FIFA provokes outrage with those comments on racism in football. India take an unassailable test series lead against West Indies, and we're live in Johannesburg for the first day of the second test between South Africa and Australia, where Jacques Kallis reaches yet another milestone. First, though, the controversy over FIFA president Sepp Blatter's controversial comments on racism in football continues to rumble on. Mr. Blatter suggested in an interview with Al Jazeera on Wednesday that racist comments on the field between players could just be sorted out by handshakes between those concerned. Later, he tried to clarify this, but his position as head of world football's governing body was being questioned, especially because of the timing of his comments. Gordon Taylor is the chief executive of the Professional Players Association. He feels that Blatter's comments are one step too far.
I just feel it's the straw that broke the camel's back when you see the corruption they've had at FIFA, the comments he made about homosexuals not going to Qatar, the offensive way he talked about women's football, the style of the arrangements, you know, for the World Cup, the fact he won't have technology, but the corruption issue is bad. And then coming on top of that, I really think perhaps, you know, it's time to move over for Michel Platini.
The former Sheffield Wednesday and Crystal Palace striker Mark Bright, himself a prominent black footballer, told me that through his own experience of social media, Blatter's views are not necessarily unique.
You only have to go on Twitter, and there are people who agree with what he says, that during a football match, it's okay to say what you want to an opponent, because at the end, you can shake hands and go and have a beer. And that is staggering for me, when we've spent, almost three decades trying to kick racism out of football. We have a huge campaign in this country. The fans, the clubs, the FA, the Premier League, the PFA all embrace what we've been trying to achieve to rid the game of racism. And Sepp Blatter, we've been trying to achieve to rid the game of racism. And Sepp Blatter sets everything back with his comments.
It does seem to be very prevalent at the moment, racism in football again. Seemed to have disappeared a little bit,
yes,
perhaps, over the last few years. What, in your view, are the solutions, if any?
I mean, it's taken so long to get to this stage where, when I was playing, I played in the 80s, I played in the 90s, and I finished in 1999. I mean, when I first started, you could go to any ground from Crystal Palace, Port Vale, Sheffield Wednesday, Charlton, whoever, and hear things all the time. Racist abuse, monkey chants, you know, we've all know about bananas being thrown on the pitch, etc. You know, they've now disappeared. So it's virtually... fantastic for the younger players coming through, the black players, who don't hear it, they don't get racially abused, and they play the game as it's meant to be played. I don't mind banter. I don't mind someone shouting and calling me I'm terrible, whatever, or industrial language. It's just the racist abuse. It's so much better now, and we're trying to move forward. And the rest of Europe, as we'll see probably in the European Championships, they don't think it's a big problem, and they think it's okay to racially abuse. The last time I received it was when I was in Russia to do a game. We were in Red Square doing all the pictures, all the commentators and the crew, and some school kids went past in a line, like loads of them, 40 kids, and one of them stopped and did the monkey thing, just put his arms under his armpits and then scratched his head and everything, and all the others started laughing. And I was staggered that sort of like a 10-year-old kid, whatever, could do that 20 yards away from a grown man. And I just thought, wow.
Mark Bright. Meanwhile, a statement released by the FA on Thursday says they are committed to eradicating all forms of discrimination in football where they exist. Meanwhile, FIFA have been warned by labour organisations that they face international pressure to move the 2022 World Cup away from Qatar. That's unless they ensure the host nation respects workers' rights. Representatives from the International Trade Union Confederation will meet Mr. Blatter today about their concerns. The second and final cricket test between South Africa and Australia is underway at the Wanderers ground in Johannesburg. Australia need a win to share the series after their defeat in the first test. South Africa won the toss and chose to bat first. At lunch they were 107 for 2, with Jacques Kallis becoming the fourth highest test run scorer of all time. Let's cross live to Johannesburg and get the latest from Ken Borland. And Ken, the Proteas just stuttering a bit since lunch.
Indeed, Australia are in seventh heaven because... They've removed both Hashim Mumla and Jacques Kallis. And the first to go was Jacques Kallis. He had just completed his half century of just 37 balls. And he then hit Peter Siddle for four. to become just the fourth man to score 12,000 test runs. And then the very next ball, he just rather lamely flicked to mid-wicket. So Callis was out for 54. And then in the seventh over of the day, seventh over after lunch rather, Hashim Amla drove outside the off stump and edged the debutant, Pat Cummins, to second slip to be dismissed for 19. Since then, Ashrell Prince has gone to 5 not out. AB de Villiers is on 11 not out. And South Africa have moved on to 140 for 4 wickets apiece for Johnson, Siddle, and Patrick Cummins, as well as Shane Watson.
Many thanks, Ken. India have taken an unassailable 2-0 lead in their three-match series against West Indies after winning the second test in Calcutta by an innings and 15 runs. A century by West Indies' Darren Bravo frustrated India on the fourth day of the second test, but ultimately the Indian bowlers prevailed. A short time ago, I spoke to our reporter in India, Prakash Wankhakar, and I began by suggesting that the West Indies' collapse in the first innings had cost them.
It certainly did, didn't it? But for a while today, particularly the first 2.5-3 hours of play, it looked like for a while that the West Indies of old were on the pitch. And I think part of that was Darren Bravo, reminiscent of Brian Lara in so many different ways. And for once today, he batted with gusto and with tremendous application, which would have done the great Lara proud as well. And as long as he was there, but first in the company of Chandrapal and then with Samuels, it looked like the West Indies would at least get to the point where they would make India bat again. But sadly, it wasn't to be.
So how do the West Indies regroup from this ahead of the third test when really there's nothing to play for except pride?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, Darren Sani, when he landed here in India after that series win in Bangladesh, went on record to say that he wanted to play fearless cricket and he wanted to see improvement in his team at the end of the series. And I think he'll certainly take some confidence from this test to Mumbai, where they go for the third test match, and hope that his batsmen, particularly the ones who've got runs here, Bravo, Samuels, Chandrapal getting 100 in Delhi earlier, also at the top of the order, Bharat getting some runs. So he'll be hoping that he can win the toss, bat first, and then with some runs behind them, can his bowlers try and put this very strong Indian batting under pressure.
And as for India, it's the perfect tonic following their heavy defeat in England, isn't it?
They must be feeling just that little bit better, but of course, as we all know, two completely different levels of opposition and totally different conditions. But a series win is a series win. Mahendra Singh Dhoni will take that any day. The challenge for India now really is to see what changes, if any, will they make to their third test composition, keeping in mind that in a few weeks' time, they'll be down under, and that will be a very different kettle of fish.
The former Australian rugby union coach Eddie Jones has expressed his interest in succeeding Martin Johnson as manager of England. Jones, who helped South Africa win the 2007 World Cup, says if the next manager can get it right, the benefits are absolutely enormous. The ex-Italy coach Nick Mallett has already ruled himself out of the running for the job. In golf, the United States lead the international side by 4-2 after the opening day of the President's Cup at the Royal Melbourne Club. The Americans lost only one of the foursomes matches played on Thursday, with Tiger Woods and Steve Stricker losing by a record-equalling margin of 7-6 to Adam Scott and KJ Choi. Woods was up against his former caddy Steve Williams, who now carries Scott's bag. It was the first time that Williams has been in the same group as Woods since the acrimonious split earlier this year, but they shook hands on the first tee. Before we go, a reminder that the controversy over FIFA president Sepp Blatter's controversial comments on racism in football continue to rumble on. Mr. Blatter suggested in an interview with Al Jazeera that racist comments on the field between players could just be sorted out by handshake.